You're listening to Fan of a Fan, an independently produced podcast for stands by stands. I'm Augie.
And I'm Kayla.
And here's our ninth episode.
So this week we're going to talk about the similarities and the differences between sports fans and music fans, and then we'll get on to talk about our favorite Christmas music.
Yes.
Let's get it started.
Spoiler alert, East Atlanta Santa.
So I have like a lot of like guy friends, and I follow a lot of them on Twitter and stuff like that. And they spam my timeline with sports statistics and facts and live tweets and stuff like that. But I think I've said this in one of the earlier episodes. Why do we have to make an account to talk about, you know, whatever artists we like? But I have to read how many touchdowns such and such had on Sunday. And it's not a problem or it's not annoying to people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that has always been like a thing that I wondered. And I think that sports fans and music fans are similar in that way. They get like super emotional over things. I mean, like I've seen a friend cry because his team lost.
I will never forget watching the LSU Alabama game back, you know, when we were really good and we beat them, we meaning LSU, and there were fans in the Alabama fans in the like stands that were in tears.
Yes,
you know, and it's like it's a very emotional thing for them.
It's crazy because it's like, to me, I feel like if I see someone crying in the stands at a football game, basketball game, whatever, it's the same thing as crying in the stands at a concert or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, except for you're crying for you're crying because of a loss versus crying because Justin Bieber's sweat just touched you.
But even if your team wins, you know, I've seen people get super emotional over that as well. And it's like, you're just so overwhelmed and you're just so happy. And to me, it's the same thing. You know what I mean? When I get super excited at a Beyonce concert compared to me being super excited at a Cavaliers game. Like, to me, it's the same excitement.
Yeah.
But nobody 100%. Ever categorizes it as the same thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, I don't know. It's weird. So, like, do you have any similarities that you see?
Oh, yes. I have a list of them. I have a list. And actually, the emotional aspect was definitely on my list, just because that emotional investment is a part of being any kind of fan, whether it's sports, music, TV, like books, whatever it is, like there's that level of emotion and that emotional investment is what keeps you there. It's what, you know, keeps you buying tickets or, you know, standing in line for hours. So I think that's like definitely a common thread. But
yeah,
I mean, like you mentioned, just obsessing over every detail about your fave, whether that means like, you know, what music school they went to, or the fact Beyonce and Kelly used to run in heels while singing to help, you know, their breathing control versus like, you know, knowing what high school Tyrann Mathieu went to and tracking that through college and all the way to the NFL. And also another one that I found that I had to think about, like I didn't really think about it before, but it's like, especially with fangirls of like these teen guys, like these teen sensations, like how protective they get over those guys' girlfriends, you know, and how like they almost like don't like those girls sometimes, and they feel that level of, you know, weird attachment. That happens in the sports world too, but like in a way that, you know, there, you know, do you remember like when Jessica Simpson was like dating Tony Romo and like everyone was calling her bad luck, you know, because he was performing badly? They literally target these, a lot of these girlfriends and wives, and they're like, oh, she showed up to the game and he lost. He's been off his game ever since she started showing up. She's bad luck. You know, he should break up with her, you know, like different things like that, which is, again, very similar to the way, you know, a lot of fangirls, I guess, react to their faves being in relationships.
I think of the finals earlier in the year when the Cavaliers and the Warriors played. And I remember, now I don't want to say her name wrong. I think it's Aisha Curry. Is it Aisha or Aisha?
I'm pretty sure it's Aisha.
Okay, because I've heard people say it both ways, and I just don't know. Oh, but Steph Curry's wife.
Yeah.
She got very emotional on Twitter about, like, refs and bad calls and things like that when the Warriors were losing. And I remember Twitter just going in on her. It was really funny. And then I remember seeing LeBron James fans being like, well, Savannah is a better wife, which is who LeBron James's wife. Savannah is a better wife than Aisha. And, you know, and these are like, you know, sports fans, and you don't expect that from them, but like, you think they only care about the game, whatever, whatever. But they care about so much more than that when it comes to their favorite player or their favorite team. Mm-hmm. You know, they know their high school sweethearts and stuff like that. And it's like, that is just like a stan. That is just like
exactly
a music stan.
Exactly like a music stan. Like, you that know, is exactly even like comparing a music one fave to another fave, you know,
right.
Like LeBron and Steph Curry always getting compared, you know, especially in that final matchup. Like, it's very similar to, I don't know, like when people are comparing, like, Beyonce, I don't know who you'd compare Beyonce to, but right. I'll just take it down a notch. When you're comparing, like, Britney and Christina,
yeah,
like, it's the same yeah. thing. Like, people are putting these, you know, singers head-to-head. They're putting these athletes head-to-head. And these sports fans are going back and forth. Like, during the off-season when they don't have games yes. to live tweet, all they're doing is going back to different stats and yep. going on their PlayStation and playing like 2K. That's another thing. You cannot tell me that playing these video games and taking part in fantasy drafts is different from like writing and reading fan fiction.
Exactly.
You cannot tell me that those things are different. You're creating this fantasy world
they are
where
one and the same.
You're, you know, involving your fave, whoever, and like creating this new space where like you're kind of in control and you're creating these narratives. It's exactly the same. And yet we have to sit in a corner and read fan fiction in the dark while literally 2K is like people are spending millions of dollars all over the world, you know, over this game, and there's marketing around it and all these different things. Like, and it's literally ending relationships because, you know, your boyfriend, your man crush Monday is, like, playing 2K or, like, you know, spending 10 hours, you know, in line for the new 2K while you're trying to get his attention. And so, I mean, it's just, it's crazy to me that, like, these similarities exist and yet one side is looked down upon constantly and the other side is not just, like, it's a whole business that they're creating around it that I feel like isn't taken advantage of as much or and respected as much in the music stan world in particular.
Yeah, and I think another similarity that I noticed was, you know, how people travel to see their favorite team mm-hmm. and they travel to see their favorite artist. Like, I saw on Twitter earlier today, Vince Carter, he had a fan that came all the way from China, a girl. She looked like she was maybe in her 20s. And she had a sign that she was holding up. And she was like, she waited 16 years to come all the way to the United States from China to see him play. And she wanted to get a picture with him and all of that. And she ended up getting a picture with him. And she was like, you know, her hands were shaking. And she was trying not to cry and stuff like that. And I'm like, this is just like me and you going to Houston.
Exactly.
And this is just like, you know, me going to Dallas earlier in the year to see Beyonce, literally a 24-hour trip from New Orleans to Dallas to see Beyonce and stuff like that. So, like, we do the same things in that aspect as well in terms of, like, spending lots of money on these people because we want to see our favorite players play. We want to see our favorite singers sing live. You know, it's different than watching it on TV.
Yeah.
And you do what you have to do to get to that. And mm-hmm. I just don't know why, like, me saying I went to Dallas to see Beyonce would be, like, embarrassing for some
people.
Yeah,
and it's, like, almost
then,
like, ew, like, you're weird. Like, you're so weird for doing that. But, like, if someone takes a trip to Florida, I don't know, to watch the Dolphins play, like,
right,
no one's ever, people are just like, oh, my God, that's amazing. Like, how is my, like, it's just,
right.
It's frustrating. So, I don't know. Do you have, like, any theories as to why this is a thing? Like, how we've gotten to this point?
Well, I think it's because, like, stereotypically, people that follow sports are boys and men, right?
Right.
And then the stereotypical fangirl is a teenage girl, like we've said, you know, 100 times before. And I think that because, like, society just values male interests mm-hmm. over women's interests all the time. So it'll always be a thing where, you know, what we like will always be kind of like put down, right? Because like, we have extreme fans that we kind of like side-eye and stuff like that. But I don't know if sports fans have that, you know, like have those different, you know, types of fans. I think that if you're an extreme fan, they won't even really look at you like you're crazy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can paint your face. You can, you know, dress exactly like the mascot. Like, if anything, like, they'll just give you more food at the tailgate. Like, no one is, like, calling you crazy.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, that's my theory.
My theory is, it's basically, that's what it is. It's like, you know, just the sexism that's involved in just looking down on women and their interests and pretty much just treating men like they can get away with whatever and everything they're doing is fine and it's normal. It's literally transformed the experience of being a fan depending on what kind of fan you are, you know, because like I was saying, like, as a music stan, a lot of the times, or even in pop culture in general, like, for the most part, like, we literally are standing, like, in the shadows to the point of, like, creating separate accounts, like you mentioned. You know, sometimes you're not even using, like, your real name because you don't want to be attached to it. You're just doing everything by yourself and not letting anyone else, like, experience it with you, you know? Mm-hmm. And so just different things like that where you are literally just scared of what other people will think. Like, that's something that's been ingrained in being a stan, especially if you're like quote unquote a fangirl of like pop culture. It's almost like you're told you can't fully enjoy yourself out in the open the way sports fans can, and that's frustrating. And I feel like for both of us, I think it's taken years to kind of break out of that mold and actually be open with what we enjoy doing and watching, etc.
Yeah, I mean, I know just as many girls that like basketball as I do guys, because I grew up playing basketball. Like, I literally played basketball every year from the age 5 to 18. Like, basketball was my life up until I was 18. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I am a sports fan, and it's just, I don't know, like, it's, I feel comfortable live tweeting a Cavaliers game and celebrating every shot on my timeline. I would never live tweet a Beyonce concert.
Yeah, because you just get self-conscious. You're like, oh, I'm going to lose.
I just know that somebody would be annoyed. Yeah, like, I just know that somebody would be annoyed. Like, I don't really care too much now, but definitely before I kind of broke out of the whole, like, this is embarrassing thing, it was really just, like, I was really self-conscious of what I'd tweet because I know that I knew that people would be annoyed by it. Now I don't care. Like, just unfollow me at this point. Like, if you don't, you're just going to have to read my tweets and get over it. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, so many similarities, you know?
There's a lot of similarities, especially with, you know, athletes now becoming celebrities. Like, I feel like before they really weren't as much. But, like, as it started becoming more of a business, like, between the NBA and the NFL especially, like, these athletes are now celebrities. Like, you care what they're wearing. You care who they married. You care when they have a baby. Like, they've completely become these superstars. And I think it's become even more of a thing now to, like, stan athletes. And so I just wonder if they realize how similar those are. And, I'm glad we finally got to have this conversation because I feel like I was thinking about this a lot, like when we were thinking about starting the podcast, because it's one of those things that I just feel like no one really talks about, and I wanted to make sure we got to it at some point. So,
So what do we have next on the bill?
My favorite thing ever. Okay, so now we are going to talk about Christmas music. Because it is that time of year. Thanksgiving is officially over. And for some of us, that didn't make a difference. But
Christmas started for me on November 1st. So,
and so we wanted to share some of our favorite Christmas songs with you guys. And we initially were like, let's do our top five. And that's what we're going to attempt to do now. But you should know that, like, it was very difficult for us to narrow it down to a top five. So, like, what we're going to do is we're going to create a playlist on Apple Music and Spotify as well so that you guys can listen to all the Christmas music we like in one space, even the stuff we don't get to mention on here. And I don't know about you, Kay, but, like, on my end, this top five is, like, not in any particular order. This is
not mine isn't either.
Yeah, like, because that, you would have completely made my head explode if you made me do, like, you know, rankings.
I don't think it's, I don't think I'd be able to do it.
I can't rank it. So, yeah, so basically this top five is just, like, five songs that stand out to us that we really, really love and absolutely need to hear during the Christmas season. So
do you want to go song for song or?
Yeah, let's just go like you do a song and then I'll do a song and we'll just go back and forth like that.
All right.
So you can start first.
The first on my list for me is the most classic Christmas song.
Mm-hmm.
Is This Christmas.
Okay.
My favorite is Donny Hathaway's version.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my grandmother playing that in her house a lot when I was younger. Aww. So it makes me think of like being younger in her older house before Hurricane Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
But in recent years, Chris Brown's version is one of my favorites. His little baby voice is just, I love it so much.
That Chris Brown's version is on my list. So I guess I'll pick up from there.
Okay.
And for me, like the memory I have attached to this song and his version specifically is going to see the movie This Christmas in theaters.
Yes.
Where he was that, like, you know, baby-faced little boy.
He was so cute.
In that movie. It was so good. And, like, when I was listening to some of the songs before we started recording, I listened to the Mary J. Blige version.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, oh, my God. It just, she sounds so bored. Like, she doesn't want to be there. Like, it sounds, like, literally it sounds like she was doing it while washing the dishes. Whereas, like, Chris Brown's version, it's one of my favorite songs of his as far as his vocals go because he's just really putting his all into it and he again sounds like a little kid. It's like it takes me back to like his, you know, Run It days where
so he's giving you like runs and riffs and stuff like that.
Yeah,
it's just really good. And side note though, I do want to say that all of my favorite Christmas songs are like by R&B artists that like really exaggerate these songs, like I think that's why I really like it because they're some of my favorite singers and then like to hear them really exaggerate things, that's my favorite part of it.
So my next one
is Let It Snow by Boyz II Men and Brian McKnight. It's another very dramatic, you know, song and video. It's just, I don't know, like every year, that is one song that I keep in my library all year. Like I'll listen, if it comes on shuffle, I'll listen to it in July.
Oh my
That's one song that I'll just listen to
all year round.
I really love Christmas music so much. But yeah, Let It Snow is definitely the one. Whenever it comes on, I just break out into song. And I look
That's
like...
That's a good karaoke song, too.
Definitely. I look like any picture you've seen
Versace.
Of somebody singing... Yes. Any, like, reaction or a reaction picture or meme of somebody singing, like, dramatically, that's what I look like when that song comes on.
It's
just so good.
Okay.
So what's your next one?
My next one is, like, one of my top favorites. I can't say it's my top, like, actual favorite because there's just so many others. But Do You Hear What I Hear, the Whitney Houston version?
Listen, it is so good.
Like, I just feel her vocals, I mean, you know she sang, like, any... Like, she could have sang, like, The Phone Book and it would have been flawless. So, I mean, but, like, for Christmas, it's just her voice completely carries that spirit. And it's not even necessarily, like... You know, we wish you a Merry Christmas. Like, it's not even like there's jingle bells all over and like all that stuff. But it just brings me this like sense of peace and calm. And I know we both grew up in Louisiana. There was not really any snow. But like when I think of it, when I think of this song, like and when I hear this song, it just like takes me, it just makes me imagine like what it would have been like if I was living in like Vermont or something. And I was in this like wooden cabin and there's like, I don't know, like Little House in the Big Woods and like there's snow falling, like there's a blizzard outside and you know, but there's fire and hot chocolate and I'm painting this picture and I'm sorry if it's going too far, but like that is what Whitney's voice like brings out in me when I hear it. So Do You Hear What I Hear by Whitney Houston, that is a Christmas classic and I love it so much.
So since we're talking about Whitney, next on my list I have The Preacher's Wife the entire soundtrack. So I could not pick one song from this soundtrack.
I don't blame you.
This entire soundtrack is just Christmas. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's a gospel album, but all of the songs, you know, make you think of Christmas or whatever. And Whitney Houston's voice is ridiculous on this. Easily one of my favorite vocal performances from her. Like, on this album, it's just so, so good. I was listening to it before we started recording, and I was like, oh my God, I miss Whitney Houston so much.
Like, this,
her voice is just so amazing. And then she used the Georgia Mass Choir. I think I mentioned this when I talked about Emily Sandé's song, but I love a good choir. Oh my God, that soundtrack and movie is so good. It's one of the things that I have to listen to every Christmas season, and I always have to watch the movie during the holidays. It's just really good. And if you haven't seen the movie, definitely go watch it.
Go watch.
And I just read on Twitter that this was the highest selling gospel album of all time. And I mean, understandable.
Wow.
It's great.
Wow. That's
so
good to know.
Yeah.
So I'll go with my next one that is definitely reminds me of going to church. Joy to the World, the Mariah Carey version.
Oh, yeah.
On her classic Christmas album. I feel like all I Want for Christmas Is You definitely gets all the attention when you talk about Mariah Carey and Christmas, rightfully so. But for me, it's Joy to the World. Like, that's one of my favorite tracks on the album. And I don't know, like you said, just like the church vibe of it and everything. Like, she has a choir in that one too, and she just goes off when she's like, I'm not going to sing it. I don't want to, like, bust y'all's eardrums, but it's just so, so good. But, like, while I'm talking about this album, like, y'all, like, I feel like this is the album that inspired God to, like, create Christmas. Like,
come on.
I feel like this is it. Like, this is why God was like, yeah, Mariah, you're right. Like, Christmas should be a thing. I'm going to send my son, you know, so people can, yeah, like, that, this is the album. Like, Mariah Carey slayed the hell out of it, and I also want to mention, like, I don't have All I Want for Christmas Is You on the list, on my top five, just because I feel like it's a given.
Yeah.
Like, it's, I feel like this segment should just be called All I Want for Christmas Is You. But, like, I do want to say, I think it's amazing that that track, All I Want for Christmas Is You, was an original song by her that she, like, wrote and produced, co-produced and everything.
Yeah.
Because I do have this, like, balance of, okay, am I going to go for, like, a classic Christmas song, or like, am I gonna give an original Christmas song a chance? Like, you know, some artists coming out,
yeah,
like Ariana's Christmas EP that she just released, which is all original Christmas songs that are really great. So I just love how Mariah was able to just like throw out this song that was completely original, not from the 50s, make it her own, and also make it like a new classic.
Yeah, and I mean, it'll be back on the charts.
Oh, yeah.
If not this week, next week.
As always.
So,
as always.
So, get ready for your faves songs.
Joy to the
drop.
World. So yeah, Joy to the World, that one's one of my faves, and like huge extra honorable mention to her whole Christmas album.
Yeah. So Mariah Carey, her live version of Oh Holy Night. Oh Holy Night is one of my favorite Christmas songs, period. Like, I don't care who's covering it, really. I really just love Oh Holy Night. I sing it dramatically. It's ridiculous. But this version from Mariah Carey from her her second Christmas album, Merry Christmas to You, and it's the live version on the album with some choir, I think, like, in, like, South Central LA or something like that. She went to the hood for this one. But
that's why,
and
it's so
sound, yeah, exactly. She went to the hood and got a nice good choir, you know. Like I said, I love a good choir. And she sang down on this. So definitely one of my favorite renditions of Oh Holy Night. But Oh Holy Night, period, is one of my favorite Christmas songs. I mean, I could hear someone that's tone deaf sing it and I would probably love it. That's how much I love Oh Holy Night. So yeah.
So my next one is actually like just kind of an umbrella over a bunch of songs and artists. I find myself really, really enjoying country music stars, like, renditions of Christmas songs.
I feel this.
Like, I really, really do. Like, for example, I mentioned Whitney's version of Do You Hear What I Hear, but Carrie Underwood has also, like, a really great version of that song. And then Kelly Pickler, Santa Baby, I feel like I don't want to hear anyone else sing that song except for her. And then Martina McBride's Silver Bells is, like, one of my favorite versions of that song. And so, oh, and of course, Faith Hill's Where Are You Christmas? really mm-hmm. great. So, you know, like I don't know what it is about that country twang, or if it's that like steel guitar added to some of my classic, you know, favorites. Like I really, really enjoy hearing Christmas music with a country spin. I really, really yeah. like that.
So my last one mm-hmm. in my top five is Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
Yes.
I just love it. It's just a classic.
It's a classic.
It just works, you know, it makes you feel nice. Mm-hmm. It just makes but you feel whose real
version?
Happy.
Whose version?
My favorite, okay, this is a recent one, but my favorite one is Monica. Monica isn't a powerhouse singer, but I really like her version. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I listened to it on repeat ever since The Best Man Holiday came out. So what, like 2 years
yeah,
or whatever?
Yeah.
Because that was on the soundtrack. I really loved it before then, but I think after when I heard hers, that's the only one I really listen to nowadays. And I really, really enjoy it. I don't know. I
Sam
think it's just because I really
good
love
version too.
I'm gonna have to go listen to that. But yeah, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas is just one of my favorite like classic Christmas songs.
My last favorite is a classic too. It's by The GOAT, Nat King mm-hmm. Cole. The Christmas song. This song is like a song that my dad always has to listen to during Christmas. And like with my dad, like traditions and rituals during Christmas time is like very important to him. Like mm-hmm. every single Christmas, we have to eat first. Like we have to eat breakfast as a family. And mm-hmm. then as a family, we walk to the living room and he is like the master of ceremony and will like pick up a single present at a time and like hand it to a person. We all watch the person opening it. Like there was never like a rush to open gifts.
That's
you know,
so nice.
We were never allowed to do that. And growing up, obviously I hated it, but like in retrospect, as I'm like now spending my first Christmases like away from my family, like I remember those times like really fondly. And the Christmas song by Nat King Cole, because it was my dad's favorite song, like that to me just reminds me of being a kid. And, you know, the warm house and eating breakfast with my
family. We're
so
old now.
I know. We're old. But yeah, Nat King Cole, I think if you guys want some good old school Christmas stuff, like go to Nat King Cole, go to Ella Fitzgerald. Like those were some of the greats. And they really just, you know, even like Stevie Wonder, like they truly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Stevie Wonder. And Donny Hathaway. Stevie Wonder and Donny Hathaway for me mm-hmm. when I go to old school people, period.
Yeah.
So definitely for Christmas music, I go to them.
Oh, yeah.
But so let's get into our honorable mentions.
Okay, we make the rules on this show. So if we want top five plus three honorable mentions, that's what we're going to do. Anyway, who's your first honorable mention?
My first honorable mention goes to all of Ariana Grande's Christmas music.
Okay,
original and covers. Christmas and Chill came out last year, and it is one of my favorite like original
Wait, last year
for Christmas.
Or last month?
Last year.
Christmas and Chill is a year old?
Yeah, it came out last year.
Really? Why did I think it just came out this year?
Nah, it came out last year. And people were like begging for more music. She's like, no, you guys, just listen to Christmas and Chill, you know, came out last year. Enjoy
that's
that.
That's crazy. How did I miss this?
But yeah, so Christmas and Chill is really good. She has another song called Santa Tell Me that's really good. And then every other like Christmas cover she's done. Mm-hmm. It's really, really good. So what's your first honorable mention?
Yeah, so Ariana's Christmas and Chill was definitely on my honorable mention list, specifically the tracks December. Mm. And I really love the intro as well. But the whole EP is just so, so great. And my other honorable mention was the Destiny's Child Christmas album, which can never go without being mentioned. 8 Days of Christmas.
I'm so in love.
Also, probably like my favorite intro, like words to any album/song ever. Like this album is for the children. Destiny's Children. Like
that's
that
so
is
country.
My favorite.
I love
thing
it.
Ever. But my favorite track is probably both the like Christmas medley on there and mm-hmm. Carol of the Bells, because they just harmonized all over that album. And
so good.
That's my other one.
My second honorable mention goes to Glee's holiday music. Mercedes and Santana sang, that was always going to be my favorite track. So when they sang Christmas music, of course, I fell in love with it.
Yeah.
So what's your third honorable mention?
My third and last. Well, since you mentioned Glee, I have to mention Pentatonix. because they do a really great a cappella. They had last year they released a really, really great a cappella Christmas album.
Yeah.
But my last honorable mention for
Christmas, I think we have the same one.
Is it Gucci Saint Brick?
Yes.
Our East Atlanta Santa.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Okay, so
amazing.
I listened to this song, this Christmas song by Gucci. I listened to it for the first time today. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, oh, my God. And I literally was talking to our friend of the show, Jonquilin. I was talking to her yesterday about Christmas songs we can twerk to. And I, like, texted her and I was like, we have a new one, like this is it. But like, can you tell me this, like, is this, because the song is like, it's called an intro.
I'm Saint thinking Brick it's intro. Gonna be a whole mixtape or something.
Oh my God, I cannot wait for him, because it has to be, because the song we're talking about is called Saint Brick Intro by Gucci.
Yeah.
And it just
popped okay
up.
So I'm reading it right now. It says it's the intro to his awaited the return of East Atlanta Santa. That's the name of it.
Okay.
And it'll be his third full album in being released this year since being free from prison, because I mean he's released so much music since he got out.
I know. Okay,
but
good to
yeah.
know. I just need more of this, like more,
I love it
more, like I again, like I love the traditional sound of Christmas, but like let's make some new traditions, like let's get some new songs on there. So I'm really happy with it.
Holiday rap is usually so corny.
It is.
But this
That's
is
true.
Just so, I just love this so much.
Yeah, it was
he goes,
really
He goes
good.
Like, he says something like, trapping through the snow.
Yeah, I know. The whole time there's like a Jingle Bells like beat underneath. It's so good.
Oh my God. I mean, you know, he's talking the usual like selling drugs and shit, but it just sounds so great with some Christmas music.
I know.
I love it. Shout out to Gucci Mane.
Shout out to him.
I saw somebody tweet the other day, shout out to Gucci Mane for being happy and just living life or something like that. And I was
congrats
like,
congrats to him
I
on
love
his
this.
Engagement. Like,
yeah.
I'm just so happy for him and it makes me happy. So,
yeah,
more
he's
Gucci.
Just living life right and stuff. I love it.
I love it so much. Alright, so now we're going to get into our flops and faves of the week. If it's your first time joining us, that's our favorite thing of the week and our least favorite thing of the week. So Kayla, I will let you go first. What was your flop and fave this week?
So my fave this week, you know, Thanksgiving just passed or whatever, so I was with my family.
Mm-hmm.
And my fave this week goes to family card games, or just card games in general.
Mm-hmm.
Spades and Pity Pat, to be exact. I don't know if everybody will know what those are. I think those are like Southern Black things, honestly.
They're very
Southern
Black. I just learned how to play spades at a Friendsgiving I hosted at my apartment like 2 weeks ago.
Spades.
Shout out to Julia and Lana for teaching me.
Look, it's never too late to learn. And trust me, I'd want to play against you since you just learned. But Pity Pat is really my game, though. I love Pity Pat. It's not really skill like spades. It's really just chance, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I really love it. I love when kids try to join and then they get beat and then they cry. It's my favorite thing. I had to learn that way as well. That's how I learned how to play. It's like, it's a tradition, you know, it's like a family tradition in my family, at least. We all play cards and we play for money. Like, it's a gambling thing. We teach our kids to gamble real young in my family.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I love family card games. It just brings everybody together and we get to talk shit and stuff like that. I think I love it now more because I'm older and I can be at the adults table and not play like Goldfish and battle with my cousins. We all get to sit around and take money from our aunts and uncles now.
Right,
so it's really a fun time. So that's my fave of the week. My flop of the week goes to every radio station that plays Bad Things by Machine Gun Kelly and Camila Cabello.
Shout out to Paola.
Listen, okay. So I decided to turn on my radio for the first time in such a long time. I usually listen to my aux cord or I'm listening to podcasts or something. But I decided to turn on my radio recently. And both times I turned on my radio, I heard that song. And I'm like, this song is horrible.
You know what's funny? When I landed in New Orleans last week, I turned on the pop station, 97.1.
No.
And guess what was the very first song that played? bad things. And I literally was going to text you like, girl, get your city.
Come on, B97. Come on. But no, yeah, it's really, I just don't like the song. It's bad. You know, like my biases aside and my dislike for certain people aside, the song is just bad, mm-hmm. you know, and Time Magazine, shout out to them for actually putting the song on the top 10 like worst songs of the year.
The crazy thing is it like just came out, but they're like, yes. We gotta make sure we fit this in.
Yes.
We gotta make sure.
Like the song came out maybe like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
And it's already on the list. Like
barely even
sure.
2 months ago. It was like a month ago.
It really is a bad song.
It's crazy.
And I'm so mad at like just everyone that has bought it for even letting Machine Gun Kelly come back from 2011.
I know.
Like,
I know. It's so
nobody
bad.
Asked for this.
It's one of the worst collaborations I've ever heard, and I actually
yes.
really want better for Camila. Like, she doesn't, like, again, biases aside, whatever you want to say about her, or like, whatever, she herself deserves better than like yes. being on a track with him. Like,
yeah.
I just, the whole thing is bad, and I just want better in 2017 for all of us.
It just feels
everybody.
Really desperate. Like, if you want to set yourself apart from a group that bad that you have to collaborate with Machine Gun Kelly.
Mm-mm.
Something mm-hmm. is wrong, but you know what?
Even the Chainsmokers
you know,
would have
it's
been
doing somebody else. It's doing well, and that's what's killing me because you know because of radio play and because of the fact that like they're making sure it gets stuck in your head. But it's just it really is a bad song.
It is.
Please stop playing at radio stations, please. I am begging.
Oh man. All right. So,
but what's your
okay.
flop and fave of the week?
So I'll start with my fave of the week. My fave of the week is Gilmore Girls. I mean, if you. If you've been, like, living under a rock or maybe you just live a normal life, but, you know, I don't know, you may not have caught the fact that, like, Gilmore Girls had a revival
mm-hmm.
On Netflix and they dropped 4 90-minute episodes this past Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And this is about... This is almost 10 years after the series ended. This is a show that ran from like 2003 to 2007. And it was one of those shows that just, if you watched it, you were like all in and obsessed and you loved these characters so, so much. It's just one of those shows that has a lot of heart and you wanna, you know, want them to do well. You're rooting for them. So there was some drama at the end of the series where like the original creator like wasn't involved with the last season. So it didn't mm-hmm. really end the way she wanted it to end. So this revival wasn't just one of those things where like, oh, Hollywood ran out of ideas. Let's bring back a show. It
yeah.
was always it was also like a chance for her and maybe the fans too to get the ending that like was supposed
yeah.
to happen. But girl, I didn't realize how like much it was gonna stress me out. Like I have been watching this show since I was about 10 years old. It like started with my older cousin, and so it's been like I've had a time with this show, and I feel like I've grown up with it.
I've been seeing your tweets.
And I'm not gonna spoil. I don't want to like spoil anything, so I'm not gonna tell you guys. But basically, all of what the revival like was leading up to were these like final mm-hmm. 4 words that the creator of the show has known like what it's gonna be for like ever. So we get to the final 4 words, and I literally fell out of my couch, and I fell off my couch. I was just like, what the fuck? And so anyway, I have a lot of critiques mm-hmm. about this show and things I liked, things I didn't like, but it's my fave of the week because at the end of the day, it like brings me a lot of joy. And I actually wrote about it on my mm-hmm. personal blog. Like, just what this show means to me. Like, my mom was sick this past year, and so me and her spent a lot of time watching mm-hmm. it together, like, as she was, you know, going through some of her treatments. And the show is actually about a mom and daughter. So, like, a lot of parallels there that, like, it really helped me get through a tough time. So we'll link through to, like, my blog post so you guys can maybe read a little bit about that. But just shout out to TV shows that kind of just help you escape, like, whatever you're going
yeah.
through in your own life. But yeah, so Gilmore Girls is my fave. And then my flop of the week, you already know, is Brandy.
Oh, God, Brandy.
Our homegirl, Brandy. Yeah, I mean, so just some background for people who may not have caught it, but Brandy is out here throwing more shade at Monica, like it's 1999.
Get
and I'm
over
just
it
like,
at this point.
we don't need to, like, we don't need to do this. And it's, so basically what happened is Monica was on an Oprah special, Where Are They Now? And she just talked about how Whitney Houston was her mentor and how much she loved her and how she was like a fairy godmother to her, blah, blah, blah. This was all true. Whitney Houston has also been on tape saying how she spent like literally a whole night from like midnight to 6 a.m. mentoring Monica, like, and talking to her about life and the industry. But Brandy, you know, being the jealous and petty person that she is, she went on Instagram and did this whole rant about pretty much like how no one can top the relationship she had with Whitney, and she was her fairy godmother and blah, blah, blah. And people just wanted to have what they had, but no one ever will, and no one did. And it was just like this really extra and unnecessary like thing. Like, Monica has never wanted to come for you, like, at least as of late,
because they did have their little thing back in the day.
Yeah, they did have their little thing. But like, as of late, Monica has continuously taken the high road. The thing I respect with her, even if she was in the wrong at some point, Monica is like, not going back at Brandy. She's not going low in the way that Brandy has been going low. You know, even to the point where, like, when Monica started picking up on, like, what people have been saying for the past few days and what Brandy was saying, she even did a comment on Instagram talking about, like, you know, like, I don't want to, like, stoop to that level. Like, we should all, like, grow up. We, you know, we should all get out of that weird mindset of the 90s and just, like, you know, support each other, love each other, whatever. You know, she even gave Brandy props for being talented and whatever. And so it's just, like, I don't understand why Brandy has to keep doing this, because we literally, we love her too. Like, we love Brandy and we respect her. Like, she just had an award given to her by the Soul Train Awards, like, that was really just honoring her and her career and, you know, her impact that she's had. And so I just don't understand why she feels like she has to go to these lengths to, like, put Monica down. Like, I don't understand why she's still holding on to that, like, boy is
I think
drama.
She's doing this now because Monica has given her life to God, you know. She's no longer out here fighting people and, like, breaking windows like OG Monica used to do. So I think you know how, like, a bully, you know, kind of, like, stops bullying, and then the person that they bullied feels like they want to fight them now. But it's too late because they don't want to, you know, be involved in that anymore.
They don't care anymore.
And that's, to me, that's what the situation is. Monica is like, I don't want to be involved in this. And Brandy is like, but you will be involved in this. And just like someone on Twitter said, it's just like that vine of the lady fussing with herself on the train. That is Brandy feuding with Monica. Monica just won't reply. Just leave her alone.
She won't. And she's constantly taking the high road. And I really just want the best for both of them. Like, I grew up, you know, listening to both of them, watching Moesha, like, and I also really love the relationship that
both
Whitney
had
with both of them. You know, it's something that, like, I constantly look to, and it brings me so much joy. Like, of course, Cinderella was one of my favorite movies. But, like, when I knew that, like, Monica and Whitney also had a very similar relationship, like, it makes me feel so great because it reminds me how loving Whitney was and how she really was, like, looking back at who was coming after her and, like, wanting to nurture them and love them. And so for Brandy to just be out here, like, acting like she was the one and only. Like,
especially
that's just
when we all,
so,
like,
just
know
not cool.
Whitney and Monica had a relationship as you know?
That's the thing. Like, it's not that deep. And I don't, I mean, apparently it's that deep to her. But, like, I just want her to, like, come to peace with that and stop, you know, taking everything so personally and thinking that she has to be on the defense at all times. Like, I don't know. Shout out to Brandy, though. I just hope she, like, is able to, like, find Jesus and maybe they can come back and be friends again. I don't know.
Find Jesus, Brandy. So, guys, that was the show.
All right. That was it. Thank you for listening. I hope y'all had a nice Thanksgiving. Yeah, we'll see y'all next time.
Goodbye. Adios.
Shout out to our amazing DJ, DJ Magic, aka Dion, aka The Brat, for producing the music that you hear at the beginning and end of every single episode. You can follow her on Twitter and SoundCloud at your girl DJ Magic. All of her handles will be in the description box.
And you can follow the show at The Fan Podcast on Twitter, and you can follow our separate personal accounts. Our usernames will be in the description box as well. So
thanks for listening, y'all.
Tweet us.
Yes, tweet us. So we're not tweeting ourselves like the lady on the bus. I was just talking about.
Bye.